May peace be with you. If you stick around at the end, there's more information about our community and how to find us. And now, here's this week's Centering Scripture, followed by the sermon.
We actually have a story about it that Mary's going to tell us. Mary, do you want to come tell us the story? Yeah, come tell us. Here, let's listen up. So this is a story about how Palm Sunday came to be.
When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately, as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'Your God needs it,' and will send it back here immediately." They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of our God. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple.
Thank you, Mary. What a joy to be back. Palm Sunday is, to be honest, one of my favorite days in the church year. And not just because we have a unique twist on it here, or that it's often the festival of the associate pastors. It's often associate pastors will preach on Palm Sunday as senior pastors usually preach on Easter. And while I have preached an Easter or two, I've also preached a lot of Palm Sundays. Some of you may remember one of my sermons years ago. This was pre-pandemic, when I tried something a bit different, and I used a narrative story featuring a letter, or an epistle, as it's called, written from the point of view of someone who watched Jesus' procession into Jerusalem. And the feedback that I got from congregants at the time was positive and wanted to hear a follow-up letter in return. So that's what I've done today. Revised the original narrative and written a follow-up letter. So without further ado, the Epistle of Athaliah. To my dear brother Lael, I pray you blessed with God's good health during this Passover season. I have commissioned this letter because I have witnessed an amazing sight and I need to share it with you. As I'm sure you know, with Passover approaching, our Roman servant Pontius Pilate has once again trotted out his army and marched them through the main gates of Jerusalem. He seems so concerned to remind us of who is in control. Does he think we've forgotten? Everyone in the world knows the Roman army is the strongest military force in history. Yet it seems like they have to keep boasting of their might regularly, else we might forget. It's like they're afraid of anyone thinking that there's a power greater than their swords. Can you imagine? One would have to be mad to think anything prevails against their might. But at temple yesterday, I overheard something which gave me pause. Have you heard of Jesus of Nazareth? I had never heard of him until yesterday, but apparently there are many rumors going around the region about him. Some are calling him a remarkable teacher, but my neighbor Saul says he's a fulfillment of the prophets. Can you imagine Elijah come back? No. Perhaps he's another prophet come to warn Pilate or to prepare the way for us, but He couldn't be any more than that, right? I'll tell you what, though, my baker, John, whom some have said is touched by an evil spirit, he says... he says this Jesus is the Son of God. Now, I always thought that John was a believer in the one God, Adonai, but now he sounds just like my Roman neighbors and their pantheon of gods. He keeps telling me these stories about how this Jesus can do all these miraculous things and thinks that that means that this man is divine. Stories about turning water into wine, feeding something like a whole town with a couple loaves of bread, and raising his cousin or someone else from the dead. It's all miraculous, but it can't all be true, right? Or even if it is, doesn't that just mean he's an incredible prophet of God? No man can be God incarnate, right? I have to confess, I was actually starting to get caught up in John's excitement when I heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. I mean, what if God was made incarnate? What if everything we know and love and everything we don't and can't and never will and everything else that God means was condensed into one human form? Surely God can do anything, right? So it's not totally out of the realm of possibility. Lael, my dear brother, if what they say about Jesus was true and he is divine, it would rock my entire faith and worldview. I'm not sure I would know how to handle it if my ideas about God needed to be questioned or reformed. I take much comfort from my rituals at temple every week. If my ideas about God are incomplete, it might mean my worship is incomplete. And if God is not just in the temple, but walking around on the street, how can I show my love for God when I don't even know what God looks like? Who then would I serve? And how? Then, my brother, while I was questioning my practices and praying for guidance, I heard a great commotion outside my house. Now, you know, I've always thought my lot cursed because my home is by the back gate to the city. Well, today my misfortune gave me a front row seat to a most curious show. They say that Jesus came in through the gate by my house. I would have thought that a man of such import would enter by the main gate and confront the Romans head on if he was really here to liberate us. I mean, what kind of power is there besides one that clashes head on with its enemies and wins? But that's not the point. That's not the point. The people were shouting, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of God. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of God." And through the crowd, I saw a colt. And if this Jesus did in fact come through the city, he wasn't being carried by servants or riding a proper horse. He came in riding something that I wouldn't even be seen in on. Something meant for carrying heavy loads, but not a king. Certainly not fit for God. Oh, and speaking of not normal, I have to tell you about these people following him. Men, women, slaves, children who were crowded all around. These people were waving palm fronds around and throwing their cloaks down for the colt to walk on. And these are not rich people, but folks like you and me who probably only have one good cloak to their name. They were putting it down in the dirt and foul ground to be walked all over and ruined by the hooves. Yet I confess I felt my spirit stir, and I decided to open my door to see more clearly. But before I knew it, I had left my house and I had joined the crowd. I mean, I've heard talk about this Jesus overthrowing the whole Roman system, and I don't know if that's true or if I would even know what to do if the empire was gone, but I felt more alive and full of hope and, dare I even say it, joyful. by simply leaving my house, abandoning my regular routines, and following this gathering. And I know what you're going to say. I know what everyone says about these Christians, as they call themselves. But I tell you, this group was not at all like what I had heard. The feeling of joy this crowd exuded, brother, it was as though, at least for that moment, that they were gathered, the burdens of the world did not have any weight on them. I don't think I've ever, at least not any time recently, felt that kind of joy and faith that they were showing. Things have been so uncertain, so dreadfully difficult. And for an hour or two, it was like he was carrying my burdens for me. I'm sure that doesn't make sense, but I felt peace for the first time in so long. And I hear he will be speaking again at the Mount of Olives tomorrow. I have decided to go see him, and I wanted to ask, would you come with me, just to see? I miss you, and I want to share this feeling of community and care with you. Please consider it. I hope to see you there. Shalom. Athalia.
To my dear sister, I greet you with faith and concern. I am glad you did not get arrested. For what they were doing went against our cultural norms. You speak of joy. What right do we have to joy? I know my lot. I can't just go around and do whatever my heart wants. The Romans have ordered me to a life of service, and that's what I have to do for my country. Stepping out of line would just get me killed, or worse, ostracized. And I certainly wouldn't be very happy or joyful then, right? Would this Jesus, this charlatan, save me? How could he? All we have is what we can hold on to. There is nothing more than our work, our duty to the state, and our duty to our family. Everything else is made up children's stories. The God I worship is pacified through labor to the state. My wealth proves that. This Jesus must be something else entirely. I will not be joining you to hear this man speak, and I implore you, if you must go, please keep it to yourself. Besides the disgrace of it all, I have plans to have another foot race with my neighbor. I was so close to beating him last time. Perhaps you would come to my race instead. After all, what could he possibly say in any sermon on this mount that would be so incredible to hear? It's just words. And what value is there to gathering and hearing words strung together by another hypocrite? Probably just more imperial propaganda. I hear enough of those from our established religious leaders. Thank you very much. No, it is best to stay the course. No one will make me wave palm leaves around. What good will it do other than embarrassing me? I already have God's favor, after all. I pay my tithing and hold to the purity laws. I'm sure if I keep going through the traditional motions and keep to the laws, things will turn out fine for me, even if it means being oppressed in this life. It's better to be alive and in bondage than free but in peril. Isn't it? I pray you give up this Jesus nonsense and meet me for something important. Seeing me beat my neighbor in a foot race will be much more meaningful use of your time. May God and Caesar's blessing be upon our house. Your brother.
So today, we did what Lael would not. We brought branches inside and waved them around. It is a very small countercultural act. You will not find it anywhere else. But why? To celebrate, as we said, sure. But I also believe that it's practice to help us live differently, to be okay not doing what society expects us to do. For where are our loyalties bound? To the status quo? The routines and expectations of our culture? Or to something more? Perhaps our loyalties are to God, which transcends the status quo and calls for compassion for other humans, taking priority over the way things are done by the powers that be. And whether you align with the first author or the second, know that it's okay. We can be bound by culture and expectations for generations. We certainly have been. But if you feel called to love, to serve the God of life who calls to us from the burning bush to transcend our expectations and lift our shared humanity out of oppression, start small. Wave a branch. Connect with sacred community. Some churches, as the second writer mentioned, serve the empire, and others serve God and challenge the oppressive nature of empire, not with head-on clashes, but by offering space to practice living differently, that we might be transformed, to transform our world. Loving and compassionate community does that. And I pray you find it here and return each week. To fill your cup of blessing. And all the while, I also pray we do not throw our hands up in the air and say, I wish there was more we could do, but oppression and fear is just how the world works. Because it's not. Oppression and fear breaks down over time. The Babylonian Empire fell. The Roman Empire fell. The American Empire is like a house built on sand. And the water is rising. Let us leave that familiar home and follow Jesus, if but for a couple hours a week. It's good to be back in worship with you all again. May we find joyful community to sustain us here in this place. Amen.
As a church located on Lakota land in Minnetonka, Minnesota, St. Luke is a joyful, inclusive, intergenerational, and compassionate community on a spiritual journey seeking to do justice, make peace, and to walk humbly with God. We invite you to join us live for virtual worship each Sunday morning on Facebook or YouTube, or by following the worship links on our website, stluke.mn. Thanks for listening. May you go in peace.